Hello and welcome to Campbell Bible Church. Thank you to our digital listeners for tuning in today. Today we are in the book of Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, we are looking at Jesus' introduction to parables. Jesus has been teaching all along, just as regular teaching, and today he is introducing parables. And the disciples are curious as to why that is, and Jesus is going to tell us about that. Let's look together at Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell in stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Let's open with a word of prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for those listening today. I pray for myself that you would help us to understand your word. I pray, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would show us through discernment, Lord, what exactly it is that you're teaching us. And I pray, Lord, that we would grow from the truths that we're learning today. In your name I pray these things. Amen. So let's begin with a parable. What is a parable? When we look at the meaning of the Greek word for parable, it means a comparing of one thing with another. It's also an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Every parable has a connection to salvation in some way, and let's see if you can see the connection in today's. Now, as we approach this parable, we are going to see a sower, which is someone who does the planting of the seeds. You know, today we might call that a farmer or a planter. But here it's the sower. And when I was little, I helped my family plant a vegetable garden. I remember my parents were thinking, hey, we have this big spot of land that we don't use in our backyard. Why not cut it out and put a vegetable garden in? And we grew tomatoes and green beans and other things. It was a really great time. So we pulled up the grass where it was needed, and then we prepared the dirt and we got ready to plant the seeds. And I remember that I poked my finger into the hole as we went down through the dirt, and then we put a seed in it, and then we cover it back up with dirt again. Well, that is the common practice today that we find, and even maybe a little bit more technological today on the farms of today. But typically we make a hole, we put the seed in it, we cover it with dirt, and then we water it. But back in Jesus' day, the common practice for sowing was a little bit different. They would prepare the land, and then they would go out and they would take handfuls of the seed and they would toss them out in the air onto the prepared land. And sometimes they would cover it back up with dirt, sometimes not, and just allow it where it lands to be watered and for the earth to take care of it. Now, as we read about the sower, we are going to look closely at where he sows and what the results are. So let's look again back at our text, and we're going to begin in the second part of verse 3. Again, Jesus is saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them." So the first part we have here is the wayside. Now, the wayside is the edge of a road. This is more of hardened dirt, you know, from wagons and people walking across. It is really hard, so there isn't any way for the seed to get down inside of the dirt. It just stays on top, and we see that the seed is devoured by birds. Well, let's see what's next. Look with me at verse 5. "Some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away." So the second part we see here is on stony places. So stony places, we see a lot of times where, we even see this on the road. I saw this on the road the other day as we were driving down the road. We stopped at a red light, and I looked over, and saw a portion of the road had some dirt on it, and grass was growing up on that dirt. Now, that grass isn't going to last very long when the street cleaner comes through. It's going to pick all that up. But here is kind of that same idea. It's a stony place. There was dirt on top of the stones. And the plant didn't have very much room for the root to get down and start growing on. So since the root was not very low, not very widely spread out into the dirt, when the sun came up, it scorched the little plant. Well, let's see what's next here in verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. All right, so the next one we see here are the thorns. The plants are in a good area of ground here. They probably have a decent root system. But the problem is that they are amongst the brambles and the thorns. And so as they grow up, the thorns wrap around them and choke the life out of them. Well, let's look at the last bit here, verse 8. Jesus says, others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the last bit fall on the good ground, the prepared ground. And they grew and they produced well. Now we do see that they all produced on the good ground, but it was different. It didn't all produce the same. Notice that some, as it grew, it produced 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We're going to talk a little bit about this as we move forward. Well, Jesus continues and declares in verse 9, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In other words, listen up, because this is very important. Now, there is one more connection that I want to draw our attention to. And remember, something very important. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the Word. He is the living embodiment of God's Word. So when Jesus tells us to hear, he is also identifying the importance of not just listening, but taking in what is being said, to bring it within you and to let it grow. Now remember, Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 tells us that faith comes by what? What do you think? Faith comes by what? It comes by hearing. And hearing by what? It comes by hearing the Word of God. So really, Jesus is saying, wake up and listen. The wisdom from what I speak by God's Word will grow you. So pay attention. Now, what does this parable mean? Well, the disciples wanted to know that as well. And they also wanted to know why Jesus was speaking in parables in the first place. So let's see what happens next. Look with me at verse 10. And the disciples came to Jesus and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And Jesus answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. So Jesus informs the disciples that they personally, or in context, we could even say that gospel believers have been given the right to understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But those outside of the family of God have not been given that right. Now, the mystery or the secret of the kingdom. Now, it is interesting to note here that when Jesus began to speak in parables, if you think about it, in the last chapter, we learned how the Pharisees had made up their mind to be against Jesus. Now, remember, they attacked him, suggesting that he was through the power of Satan, that he cast out demons. Now, Jesus decides to teach openly to those who are searching to really know the truth. Those who search for the truth will find it. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 16 reminds us that those who want God's truth, those who seek for his wisdom will have it. It says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me. So if you think about it, Jesus all the way along has been teaching open truth. And the Pharisees and others now have defined what they're interested in. They're either interested in just destroying Jesus and using his word against him, or they're not really interested in knowing anything. They just want to turn other people against him. And so Jesus now is shrouding his teaching. It is now the mystery or the secret of the kingdom is what his word has to say. And so he is not just openly and freely giving this out to people who are just working to destroy his word anyways. But the word is there to understand if you want to really know it and really understand it. And God knows whether or not you really want to know it and whether or not you really want to understand it. And he will reveal to you what his truth is. Now, as gospel believers, those of us who have made a declaration to Jesus Christ, who have asked forgiveness for our sins and have accepted him as our Lord and personal Savior, we have the Holy Spirit living within us. And Scripture tells us that with the power of the Holy Spirit within us, that we can reach out to the Lord and ask him anything in Jesus' name, and we will have it. We can ask for God's wisdom. We can ask for God's knowledge. We can ask him for discernment and understanding of the text that we're reading, and we will receive those things because these are things that God wants us to know after all. Now, just to clarify, anyone, absolutely anyone who wants to know Jesus Christ, who wants to have him as the Lord of their life, as their Lord and personal Savior, is invited to experience the mysteries of God and to tap into his wisdom and to know his knowledge. This is an incredible gift from God for those who want to honor and serve him, and it is a privilege for us to have. Let's continue in the text. Look with me at verse 12. Jesus continues and says, "For whoever has to him, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you will see, and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desire to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it.'" Now, Jesus tells the disciples that they are privileged because they believe. Blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. Now, not everyone sees and hears. And those in the Old Testament, those who longed to see the Messiah, did not have the chance that the disciples have today. Now, everyone has the opportunity to see Christ today, and this is a wonderful blessing that God has given us. And yet, many, many waste this opportunity. Now, let us not waste the access to God that he has given us. Now, as we go into verse 18, Jesus is going to explain what the parable means. So we're going to be looking at the parallels of the four places that the seed was dropped and what it means. So look with me here at verse 18. Jesus says, "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart." So the sower isn't identified directly, but we see that the seed is the word of the kingdom, or God's word. Now, the soil represents those who hear the message. Now, thinking in that context, I can see only two options for the sower, either God or gospel believers that are sent by God to give his message. Let's look at verse 19 one more time. "When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside." So again, the wayside, the edge of the road, that hardened dirt. That seed is devoured by birds because the seed can't get down into the ground. It stays on top of that hardened dirt. Now, this is people who have a hardened heart. They are not interested in the truth of God's word. They are making no effort to really know the Lord. And again, this was the Pharisees. But this may be other people even today. Let's continue in verse 20. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. All right, so here again we see the stony places. The stony places where the dirt didn't have a good root system because there wasn't much dirt, they sprang up and they were scorched by the sun. Now the stony places are where the dirt is not deep. It is not ground well suited for a strong root system. And this is when someone makes a profession of faith. They love the idea of following Jesus, and sometimes they are caught up in the moment. Maybe they're excited about the opportunity, but their depth of God lives in the excitement, not really in the love and understanding that they can have for him. Now, the sun represents persecution, and when God brings testing in their lives, and when they begin to face persecution for their faith or hardship, they decide that it's really not worth it. And they abandon God, and their faith is gone. It has burned up. Well, let's continue here in verse 22. Jesus continues and says, "Now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." So again, here, the seed fell amongst the thorns, and we see the plant was choked. Now, the thorns represent the cares of the world, riches, power, technology, these kind of things in general. Now, when someone hears God's word and they seem interested, but the cares of the world grab a hold of them and they allow themselves to be carried off by those cares, they are choked of any usefulness to God and they are absorbed into the world. All right, let's continue here in verse 23. Jesus says, "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Now again, this is the good ground. It grew and produced well. Now the good ground is a well-prepared area for growth. The seed is planted and it takes. This is the person who hears God's word and understands it, who wants to know it, and who produces an abundance of fruit based on how much that seed is growing. Now, this is also the person that when they face the hardships, when they face persecution, they decide to keep moving forward with Jesus instead of running in the opposite direction. So how can we apply these truths to our lives today? Well, all four of these areas represent people that I believe are either in the church today or have at one point in time been in church. And one of these examples will be a representation of even your own heart today. So again, number one, we have the hardened heart, the one that has no interest in the things of the Lord. They have heard the gospel over and over, and they have not accepted the truth of God's word. Now, is there any hope for that person? Can a hardened heart be softened? Well, I believe it can. Now, think about this. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, we are told that everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Now, before we came to God, we were enemies of him. We did not love him, and we were not interested in him. But then God changed our hearts. Now, someone prayed for us, and we heard God's word. Remember, faith comes by hearing God's word. And slowly, our hearts were turned from a hardened heart to a softened heart. Now, consider with me 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 7 through 11. The Apostle Paul here is talking to the believers in the church of Corinth, and he says, "Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now that is a picture of a changed heart. That is a picture of someone who had a hardened heart and it was changed to a softened heart. Now that means that there is hope for anyone in your life that has a hardened heart. Even the worst of the worst people. You remember the worst in the Gospels were described as tax collectors. Remember, even Matthew was a tax collector and his heart was softened and he came to know Jesus. But it begins with prayer. It begins with prayer from someone who has a strong root system and is in good, fertile soil. And those prayers, when they can be, should be followed up with biblical encouragements. Now start small with those encouragements and grow them little by little. And along with praying to the Lord will work to soften that heart. Now, many times we will say, well, I already gave that person the gospel or I already shared with them a Bible verse. God never meant for us to share a Bible verse one time or to share encouragement one time. We are called to go back, to keep working on that field, to keep preparing it for what is to come. We are to give that word over and over again. Well, let's continue here. So next we have the little roots. Now, something that 1 through 3 have in common is that the ground is not prepared well beforehand. So how do you prepare the ground for planting? Well, you dig in and remove the weeds. You rake off all the thorns. You check to make sure the area is fertile, that it will accept water, that it has a place for plants to grow. And the person hearing the gospel does not prepare the soil. God prepares the soil based on their desire to know him and accept him. And the more others are encouraging and praying for that person, the more that their soil will be prepared. Now, there are those who accept Christ in a moment, sometimes because of the excitement of what everyone else is doing. Many times we see this as a result of a revival meeting or maybe a camp experience. Someone walks the aisle because their friend is. And they make a decision that they're excited about, but when the excitement wears off, all they have to do is face the reality of their decision. Their faith dies out because it wasn't real. It was a momentary experience. And we see this as well with people who get support for a time and then lose it. Many people are strong in their faith because of their church body that is supporting them and helping them. And then they move and they lose that support. And they don't know how to stand alone. They don't know how to face the trials of their faith. And instead of asking for help or finding a way, they walk away. And we see this with people when persecution comes. Persecution is a great separator. It shows you where you stand. It shows where your roots are and what you need to work on. Now, real persecution will either strengthen your roots or it will cause you to flee. Now, is there hope for this person? Absolutely. And again, they need the help and support from other believers. They need prayer. And then they need regular encouragement and support to get rerooted in that good and fertile ground. Now, they may also need help in finding a good support system, a good church, and even ways that you may be able to support and help them. And again, this starts with prayer. Lots and lots of prayer and then regular biblical encouragement. All right, let's look at 3. 3 is the cares of the world. We have those thorn bushes that are choking out the plant. The cares of this world are often distracting, and they help to carry away our desires and our thoughts to them instead of being focused on the Lord. Now, the root in this dirt took, and it started to grow, but then the cares of this world overtook the plant and choked its desire to follow God's way. Now, many of these people have really good intentions to follow God, but something in their life becomes more prevalent. That job that they always wanted, or the six-figure salary that they've dreamed of, or the big house, or even the perfect spouse that they have to make changes for in their lives. All of these things can choke a believer and pull them away from God. Now, can these plants be revived? Can the thorns be cut away and the plants grow and be fertile again? Yes, absolutely. but there must first be a renewing of the mind. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, we are not to be conformed or aligned with this world. We are to be aligned with God. In order for someone to reroot and clear out these thorns, they will have to set aside the things that they have made more important in their life. And that's hard for anyone, but it's worth it. Now, those with strong roots can help by praying and by encouraging with God's word, and not just once, but strong and regular prayers and continual encouraging with God's word in order to bring about this change. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12 says, All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So I cannot serve both my fleshly thoughts and my desires. The world in context here and serve God. It is either one or the other. One of them is going to be first. If I want those roots to grow deep and strong, I have to submit to God first. Which brings us to number 4. Those good growing roots are good growing gospel believers. Now, this is good soil that is well prepared in an environment where you are learning and you are growing in the Lord. This is well-supported soil that is being fed by the nutrients of God's word, and those nutrients are being accepted and enjoyed. Now, all gospel believers have the opportunity to grow in good soil. It is our choice as to whether or not we want to thrive or whether or not that we want to fail. Now, we all have opportunities in life to either let our Christian growth fall by the wayside, or to stop growing, or be choked out by the cares of the world. And we can only overcome these things by being faithful to the Lord, by following our spiritual disciplines, by making every effort to set aside worldly thoughts and desires and to commit to follow God instead. Now, the 4 examples that we've been given from our text today show us a representation of what your own life may be like today. You're going to be one of these 4. And I would strongly encourage you today to make sure that you are not numbers 1 through 3. Now, if you feel like you are heading that way, let this be a reminder for you to let go of those fleshly desires and turn back to Jesus Christ. And you might say, well, what is a fleshly desire? A fleshly desire is anything that takes the place of Jesus. If there's anything in your life, whether it be a job or whether it be another person, a relationship, an idea, whatever it is, if you are going to that thing first, or you are making that thing more important than your relationship with Christ, it is a fleshly desire. God wants to be first in our lives. He wants us to be the people where we wake up in the morning and he's the first thing that we think of. He wants to be people who are meditating on his word and memorizing his word and hiding it in our hearts. And if there's things in your life that prevent you from doing that, those are things in the way that God wants them to be removed so that you can put God first. Now, there is much more that I could say about this text, but I'm going to hold on to it, and we'll talk about it in a future sermon. But I want us to finish today with thinking about these 2 thoughts. Number 1, which of these 4 plants are you? Now, don't be quick to answer. Our natural response is to be defensive when these kind of questions come up. We want to assume that there is nothing wrong in our lives. We don't have anything that we need to fix. And our first response, even in our mind, even if we don't say it verbally, our first response in our mind is going to be, I'm fine. I'm good. This isn't me. You know, this might be my neighbor, or this might be somebody else I know in my life, but it's not me. And that's not a helpful thing for us to do in our lives. Even as I was studying out this text, I had to look at 1 through 4 and say to myself, am I a representation of any of these? And even pray and ask God, God, please reveal to me if I am numbers 1 through 3. And that's a great point for us to be doing. Anytime that we are reading through the scripture and we see a text and it identifies something that we could be, we need to take those things and ask God, God, please reveal to me if I am this, if I am going this way, or how I can stay as far away from this as possible. And let God open up to your heart what you need to change, what is going on that needs to be made better. He will reveal those things if you ask him. And so we need to identify where we are and be real and be serious about it, because we can't make changes. We can't make the needed changes in our lives until we are able to look at the text and say, this might be me. Realistically, this might be me, and I need to make whatever changes are necessary. So I would encourage you today to be careful as to where you are, to ask God where you are, and to consider those things so that you can make the needed changes to make sure that God is first place in your life. And then number two, how are you being that light to those in your life? So those in your life that are maybe number 1 through 3, how are you being a godly example to them? How are you praying for them? How are you giving them regular encouragement to guide them to that good, fertile ground? Think about that. Again, ask God for ways that you can be better at this. Ask God to reveal to you where you're at, and work on being a better helper in getting them to the truth. And I know I said this before, but it's really important. We respond many times by saying, well, you know what I did? I told my neighbor, or I told my cousin, or I told my friend the gospel one time. And we think we're good with that. But God doesn't want us to just encourage someone one time. He wants us to encourage them over and over again. And even after, if they do come to know the Lord and they accept him as their Lord and personal Savior, that doesn't mean the encouragement stops. The encouragement should continue. We need to continue to encourage as God gives us the opportunity to encourage. Now, I don't know what this year holds, but I have a strong sense that this is going to be a difficult year, a year of testing, filled with worldly distractions. We need to be a stronger light for the Lord right now than we have ever been. The sooner, the better. Time is of the essence because we cannot waste what time that we have left. We don't know what is to come, but we know that God has instructed us to do these things. So let's take these things serious today, and let's put a plan in action of how we can set aside the things in our life that don't make room for God, that take the place of God. Let's put God first and keep him there. Let's go to prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, I pray for the listeners today, Lord. I pray that you would help them, encourage them, strengthen them, Lord God. Lord, I pray that if they are numbers 1 through 3, if they are the hardened heart of the wayside or the stony place, or even as the thorns that have come to choke the life of the plant, Lord God, I pray that if they are any of these things, Lord, that you would work in their hearts and show them how they need to move to the fertile soil, how they need to get rid of the things in their life, how they need to uproot what sin is there so that they can be rid of it and so that you can take first place. Lord, help them, reveal to them what needs to be changed. Bring conviction, Lord, where conviction is needed. Lord God, I pray that you would help us all to be in good, fertile soil. Show us where we are not so that we can get these things right. Lord, I pray that you would help all of us this year as we face different points of persecution, as we face different ways that we are pulled away from you, Lord. Help us to stand our ground and refuse to fall, refuse to fall away from you. Lord, help us to submit to your will no matter what. Now, I pray, Lord, that we would daily get into your word, daily drink from your word, and want to know it and want to understand it, Lord. And we thank you for the truth of your word. Change us today to be more like you. In your name, I pray these things. Amen. Well, thank you for listening today. I hope that today has been an encouragement to you. I know it's been an encouragement to me to dig into the word and really study and learn from it. I would encourage you to come back out next week. And if you're in the Campbell, California area, this coming Wednesday is ABC. It's called a Bible Connection. It's basically a time that we sit down and we open up our Bibles together and we just read the Bible together. We are in the book of Genesis right now, and it's a great time as we learn God's truths. If you've never read the Bible and you'd be interested, we would love to have you. If you have read the Bible before and you just love to sit down and study his word with other believers, we'd love to have you. So it's a very casual time, but a good time that we can enjoy together in God's word. And let me encourage you to come on out if you're available for that. If not, I would encourage you to continue reading and studying your Bible. You will learn the most truths from learning God's word. God wants us to hide his word in our hearts, so that it can become a part of us, which means that we need to meditate on it. We need to think about it throughout the day and not just get it in our minds, but get it in our hearts so that we remember it and so that we can apply it to our lives and live by it. Have a great week. I'll be praying for you.